Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here.
It's interview time again on the Human Technology Podcast. I'm having Tero Sarkkinen here for an interview. Tero is founder and CEO of Basemark. They are providing a tool and services around augmented reality in automotive HMI. He will talk about this, what they are doing, and how he came to this. And yes, I found it a very interesting, very fruitful interview for me. You will easily hear that Tero is from Finland. And before the interview, he said to me, I will try to be more talkative than Kimi Räikkönen. You may know Kimi Räikkönen. He was a very popular Formula One driver and very famous for his extremely short, very focused, sometimes a bit rude answers in interviews. And yes, Tero was clearly more talkative. Very interesting. I wish you a lot of fun with today's episode of the Human Technology Podcast. So we have Tero Sarkkinen on the Human Technology Podcast today. I'm super happy that he joins us today. I think he's a very interesting person, and he will talk a bit about himself in the interview, about his company called Basemark. I know these guys a little bit, so for me, it will also be a learning experience. So, Tero, welcome to the Human Technology Podcast.
Great. Thank you, Peter, and it's really great to be here. So thank you for the opportunity, and I look forward to doing a nice interview. Hopefully, we'll be lots of interest and value to all the listeners.
Yes, I'm absolutely sure about this one. Let's start with you. Tell us a bit about you. Who are you and what brought you into the position where you are today?
Yeah, it's actually interesting to look at it in retrospective. When I was a kid, VIC-20 arrived and then Commodore 64, and I did some obviously first basic coding, and that was slow. Then I learned assembly, the real hardcore assembly, and even managed to get some small pieces published in the computer magazines at that time. So that left me with a little bit of software engineering in my heart. But then as the life took me along, I find myself then graduating from business school, Aalto in Helsinki. And from there, I went to work for a telco. And then pretty soon thereafter, I started my, then that would become my career for now about 25 years, which has been computer graphics and now computer vision and AI.
All right. So I ask all my guests here in the podcast, what is the reason why you stand up every morning?
I'm thoroughly and motivated and consumed by the passion of building something new, building a business that solves important issues that customers have or that makes the world in general a better place. That is really, I get the kicks out of seeing that, hey, we found and identified a new business opportunity, a new product, a new service, and we were able to find a customer or the first customers for that, and we can grow as a company, as a team, and the customers are happy. So this thrill of sort of making something out of nothing, so to speak. So that really gives me a big reward.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So your company is Basemark. I'm pretty sure very a low number of my listeners have heard about Basemark. Most of them probably will not have heard anything about Basemark. So tell us a bit about Basemark. What are you doing? What is your product?
Yes, it's very true that most people haven't heard about Basemark, but many people probably know one of our customers, BMW. And every new model that ships from last spring onwards has our augmented reality applications in it. And that is, we have a public reference permission from BMW to tell exactly this, that we are behind those. And we are super proud of that. And so what Basemark does, we are a software company, and we help our customers who are the OEMs, such as BMW, to create and offer totally new AR experiences and features and functions in cars. So we have a full in-house computer vision stack, full in-house very fast graphics pipeline, a lot of trained networks and algorithms and applications that enable us to or our customers to really rapidly develop fantastic AR that ships in as part of the cars.
So are you delivering a, let's say, ready-to-use software, or are you delivering a tool to develop software, or is it something in the middle, like a, I don't know, SDK kind of product?
Yes, we are supporting our OEM customers in any way they want, but our big development investment is in exactly developing this kind of a product. It's a studio kind of a developer tool, low code environment for rapidly putting together and developing AR application from, you know, sensor integration, sensor fusion, and then how the graphics behave under different circumstances. So that is what we are primarily marketing. But some customers are quite happy to just order also like a development project from us. Well, we will use our own tools, obviously. But we also have customers who want to develop by themselves, as we now see a lot of car OEMs hiring a lot of software developers in-house. And we are just very happy to license these productivity development tools for them.
Okay, so you are basically having this tool ready and all the technology around it, and you can deliver a full software, but you can also deliver the tool, and then your customers can turn this into a product.
That is correct. And in many cases, the first project with a customer is that we develop something for them, let's say lane departure warning system, and at the same time train their engineers to use our tooling so that they can then further develop, modify, or even develop totally new AR applications using our tooling.
So you talk about AR applications, and I'm aware that you have a strong focus on these augmented reality applications, so that you put something into the driver's line of sight that matches somehow the environment and then puts additional information, an additional layer of information over the reality. So first of all, is that correct? And second, how do you do this?
Yes, that's exactly correct. And now when people think of AR, they somehow only think of AR in a heads-up display, where it is in your line of sight. So that is certainly it's an important screen for or real estate screen real estate for AR. But there's also already a lot of existing screens in cars, digital instrument cluster, the center display, and now e-mirrors are coming. So all of those also benefit a lot from AR applications. And when we deploy or when our customers develop AR application for an existing screen, like a, let's say instrument cluster, one quite popular use case is AR navigation. So you would see first the, you know, your regular 2D or 3D graphical map and navigation. And then when you approach, let's say, an intersection, then it switches onto a video feed that shows the road ahead, and then clear, very intuitive, and very buttery smooth AR navigation guides that seem to be like glued to the environment. So they seem to be part of the real physical environment in the screen, and that is the magic that we provide. So we have all these high-tech AI-based positioning and motion compensation and anti-vibration and these kinds of things running, let's say, under the hood.
Yeah, I think that creates the real value in your technology, right? Just putting something in front of the driver is one thing, but all the things that run under the hood, like the compensation things, I have the idea that we have the parallaxy problems, that there's a small eye box. And then if you move, if the driver moves in the seat or if it takes a different position, then you have to recalibrate the entire, let's say, mechanics, the entire graphics to leave them where they are. Is that right?
Yes, that is indeed one challenge in a heads-up display system. And that's why we also have a driver monitoring system. So the system needs to know exactly at what height at what position is the driver's head and where the driver is looking towards. And that has to be taken into account before you can render things onto the heads-up display itself. So if I move my head towards left, then actually in order so that the AR graphics appear that they are there where my brain expects them to be, a lot of heavy duty weightlifting in compute has to happen, and we need to compensate and sort of take into account a new perspective.
Yeah, okay, cool. Once we're talking about tools, I mean, there are many tools out there. How do you relate to, for example, CGI Studio, Qt, or Kanzi to the, let's say, the big implementation, HMI implementation tools? Do you compete with them? Do you add on to them? Do you maybe cooperate with one of them?
Yeah, so we actually have a lot of partnership talks going on with those guys. And also, I do have to say that I founded a company called Rightware that provides the world-leading automotive industry-leading Kanzi HMI tool. So I know that world pretty well. But whereas those tools are really great for designing HMIs that are, let's say, mostly like static, or then this AR is totally different world. And with it, even though both involve computer graphics, the calculations to arrive into what graphics to show when and where are totally from different world. And so if I think of our software development, where we invest and develop, it's 80% computer vision and AI, and maybe 20% graphics. And so many OEMs are already using some HMI framework, and we are quite naturally, we can, let's say, plug into that and then offer all these, our magic source, as I said, all these under the hood positioning and compensation and dynamic AR calculations.
Okay, that sounds absolutely reasonable. So you add on, you have filled, or you have found a gap with this augmented reality, and you're compatible with what is out there on the market to allow your customers to keep their own development tool chains alive, but integrate your technology and the value that you create.
Yes, indeed. And it's a little bit analogous also, like, let's say, navigation mapping companies like TomTom and here and say Google Maps. Those are, from our point of view, source of data. And we do what we do the best, and that is take that data and then calculate when to show it so that it looks absolutely beautiful to the driver and natural. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I'm having projects at the moment where tools like Figma, Sketch, or Photoshop play a certain role. How do you relate to them? Can Photoshop graphics be integrated? Can you use Figma HMI developments, or is mm-hmm. this some kind of separate tooling?
Yeah, so Photoshop and graphics from 3D modeling tools such as 3ds Max, those are like source data or graphics asset provider tools that work together with our studio. Figma is actually quite interesting, and we have started studying how we can also integrate seamlessly into that so that people can do rapid prototyping and then with our tool take that same prototype and leverage it and very rapidly deploy then to a serious production car. So that's our also one of our strengths. So when you develop with our studio, even though you develop on a desktop, then it's like one click deployment and you can have it running on your automotive ECU, let's say something from Qualcomm or NVIDIA, things like this.
All right. So again, I thought you may have mentioned, this is a competitor, this is not a competitor. It seems like you have pretty much of a standalone tool. That's absolutely unique what you do, right?
Yes, we have studied the market, and a tool like this does not exist yet. This is a little bit the same like when I founded Rightware. There was simply no automotive HMI tool. Created it, and then, you know, we got, I think, over 50% global market share on commercial or in serious production deployments on instrument clusters. And I see now exactly the same need for robust AR solution.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that's a cool kind of thinking. Final question out of this area where I wanted to talk about. You said BMW is a client. I don't know whether you're allowed to talk about it, but are there any other OEMs, any other car makers or first-tier suppliers you are talking to, you're working for, maybe already products in the pipeline?
We've got many, but indeed, I can't publicly disclose those, but I can characterize that we are quite a bit focused on European and US markets. And we've got big OEMs and all the best known, well-known premium manufacturers in both continents. And so let's say that there's a broad demand for our solutions.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I can see this. I have been at the car HMI this week, and augmented reality is one of the top things. Everybody is discussing it. And it seems like you are having one of the very, very few solutions to bring this to life and to have this in cars in a foreseeable time frame.
Sorry, all could right. you repeat that? There was a connection problem.
Okay. I said I was at the car HMI, and augmented reality is a top thing everybody is discussing about. And it seems like you are having a top priority solution, a very good solution, and almost the only solution to bring this one on the road in a foreseeable time frame.
Yes, I witnessed the same thing. And AR has been making this sort of coming and then interest dissipated. And this was maybe in the like consumer segment. We are talking about 2015, there was a kind of a craze and went off a little bit. But now automotive industry has really found so solid use cases that save lives and increase the comfort in a big way. And these are things that matter. So with this AR, for instance, pedestrian warning, we can help to reduce accidents on the road dramatically. And the same goes for lane departure warnings and many other things. And I'm really, really happy about that. And then, of course, it doesn't hurt that Apple introduces AR headset just a couple of weeks ago. So now AR is on everybody's lips.
Yep. And I really like the idea. It's not a fun kind of thing. I believe the Apple augmented reality will be very entertainment oriented, very gaming oriented. But what you do is more safety oriented. So you will save lives on roads. You will make driving easier, smoother, less demanding, and safer at the very end of the day.
Yes, this is exactly. And that's also a huge source of motivation for all base Markians, including myself. That's really great. Great to be part of that and helping to change the world, doing our small part in it.
Okay. Cool. So once we're talking about this, how do you see the developments in the automotive HMIs? What are the hot topics from your side? What is the next things that come up if you are in a car and what's happening next from your point of view?
There's many, many things now happening at a really fast speed. Of course, most relevant for us is this, how us humans are able to trust more cars that are becoming more and more self-driving. And according to so many studies, people don't really trust. They don't understand why the car is slowing down or rapidly, you know, changing lane or something. And when this happens, you know, usually even from the first time, then people turn off these features because they didn't understand why the car was behaving that way. And that's a big thing for AR. Well, AR can help us humans to understand that, hey, car saw there in a distant motorbike that was approaching, let's say, in a trajectory that we would hit them. Hit that unless we now slow down or do a maneuver. So examples like this, I think, are really big. The other that is we are seeing now is, of course, is the gamification and the interactive entertainment, especially on passenger screens. And maybe later when we have fully autonomous cars, then also on the drivers, for the drivers entertainment. And with AR, you can obviously do a lot of very, very cool game-like and interactive and fun applications. Yep, this is what we see.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. You talked about the automation and the information about what's the car doing next. My wife has a level 2 automation car, and I experienced exactly what you talked about, that sometimes I was so unsure what's going to happen and why is this car braking right now, that I just turned off the system and used it in a level 0 mode, all driving by myself, which is definitely not the sense. It doesn't make any sense with these systems. I mean, you have them, you have paid for them, they're on board, they're providing safety, and you do not use them because you do not trust them. In an appropriate way. And you see augmented reality, if I get you right, as a tool to regain the trust and or to build up trust.
Yes, absolutely. And this is also what the studies prove and show that this is indeed the case. So when the car is able to communicate better about its intentions and how it interprets, then that increases the trust that people have in the car system. And if you look at statistics, then it's usually already better that the car drives itself on many scenarios, even though every one of us, of course, is much better driver than the average, right?
Yeah. 80% of all drivers believe that they are better than the rest. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So beyond HMI, you all talked about safety is an issue, trust is an issue, and we are running through all this connectivity, automated, shared electric case thing that's going on at the moment. How do you see it as one of the top professionals out of our industry? What is coming? What do we have to prepare for as users and as an industry in the next years?
Yes, everything will be connected. There's more and more software. Yes, there can be more and more bugs that will surface after some time or in some scenarios. And there are hackers, and it's really horrible to think about the scenario where somebody is able to hack, say, 1,000 cars in one city and start to command those at the same time. That's really a scenario that everyone in the industry wants to avoid. And cybersecurity is going to be super critical, and because customers demand frequent updates or over-the-air updates, that also has then the tie-in for the security of these systems. So that is that should be absolutely high priority, and it is for the you know, responsible OEMs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Your sound is a little muffled. Have you covered your microphone a bit? So.
Okay. Is it better now?
Yep. Yeah, perfect. Perfect. That's back to the good level. No problem. So we are already coming pretty much towards the ends of our little interview here. Final question. Is there anything you would like to drop to my listeners? Anything beyond what you have already told about? Maybe any wisdom or recommendations, any advice? I know that many of my students, for example, listen to this podcast. So maybe you can give them an advice, or maybe you have read an interesting book or seen an interesting exhibit on some show. Anything where you believe this is something that you can give as a little gift to my listeners.
Yes, it was cutting off a little bit, but one quite interesting study and also this eternal question that what will an autonomous car do if it sees, let's say, grandma and a toddler on the street, and its systems tell that it can avoid hitting only one of them. Which one will the car choose? Yeah, so. Mm-hmm. Here we go to the cruise of the also one of the hot topics, the large language models, and like, does the current state of AI have this kind of sense? And I think that the answer today is no, but then like, should it have? And if it's one day has that, what does that mean to the humanity? That's a question that if someone can give a really good answer, that can give quite a big wisdom.
You are targeting for the ethical question of the behavior that shall be implemented in fully autonomous or highly automated vehicles.
Yes.
I believe if we don't solve this, we will not be able to have fully autonomous cars on large scale on public roads. So I think, yes, I fully agree with you. That is something that we need to think about and that we need to solve.
Yes, and if cars will have ethics or these kinds of value-based rules, then it is interesting to think if, let's say, cars produced in Asia will have different values than cars produced in, say, Germany or US. And what will happen when we have these cars mixed on the roads?
Yeah. So one of these presenters at the car HMI asked, who should be run over, the toddler or the grandma? And in Western countries, we say, okay, the toddler is having its life before him or her, so we run over the grandma. And in Asia, it's the opposite thing. They say, no, there's a high value in high age and in high experience, so we leave the grandma alive.
Yep. This can be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's a cross-cultural issue, and you're totally right. I mean, we will have cars from Asia, from Europe, from the US mixed on roads, and we'll have cars with and without ethical programming on road, or ethic-based programming on road, decision-making. That will be an interesting mix, and Yeah, I haven't thought about this. So thanks for dropping this. And I think this is a very inspiring thought.
Yeah, calm cars come from Germany and temperamentic from Italy, maybe.
yes. Okay, Taro, thanks a lot for joining us here and for giving your insights on this. I found it extremely interesting. I learned a lot about what Basemark is doing, about what you are doing, and about your thoughts on the future of the automotive industry. So thanks a lot for being my guest, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you, Peter, and thank you all listeners. This has been really my pleasure, and I wish all the best in the show, and thank you once again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.